When I read the scriptures pertaining the reading this morning that I felt God leading me to preach on, it was wonderful timing that was brought about this time of year in the autumn, and you'll see about that in just a moment here. But as I read over this, it's a story that we've heard more than once. It's a story that's in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the only thing I could think of when I saw the response of this young ruler, this young man, this rich young man, which some of the texts call him, is, are you nuts? And I think most of us as Christians can identify with this, because there are a lot of times in our lives when we are challenged to live out our Christian faith on the spot. And when we're challenged or asked to do something that we really don't think is right, that Christ would not want us to do, and we stand back and take a stand for what we believe, the world looks at us as if to say, are you nuts? Are you nuts? I remember a few years ago, my mother gave me a teacup that had a saying on it, every mighty oak was once a nut that stood its ground. And I don't think I really understood the fullness of that saying until probably about 10 years ago when I was beginning my journey in pastoral ministry. Because as I began this journey, I know that there were many people who thought I was nuts. So we read this scripture this morning. I'd like to just ask, without seeing any hands, how many of you think that this is about riches and giving up riches to follow Jesus, or about money? As we start to unfold this, we're going to see that's not clearly what it's about. The text clearly teaches Jesus' answer to the question of what one must do to inherit eternal life. That was the question that this young man was posing. What must one do to inherit eternal life? As he came up to Jesus, Jesus started on his way, the text tells us. He was on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified at this point in the journey, chronologically. And this man ran up to him and fell on his knees. Now, Matthew just simply refers to this man as a man. Luke, in telling the story, calls this man a ruler, a certain ruler. Asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? In Matthew, he says, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? So he was asking the question to Jesus. Jesus says, why do you call me good? Because nobody's good except God. Truly, the young man was acknowledging that Jesus was someone special. There was something special about him. Good teacher. He came asking, knowing that he was going to get the right answer, because he was acknowledging something was special about this Jesus. And he was asking about eternal life. We see that as Jesus told him, you know the commandments, and he referred to these commandments, and the young man, who was very religious, said, well, I've kept these things since I was a boy. I've been a good man. I've done all the works. I've done what the law required. But he lacked something. This young man lacked something. Because Jesus looked at him. In his heart, he had compassion for this young man. And he said, but there's one thing that you lack. Go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. And the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he was a very wealthy young man. Now, the Bible doesn't say whether this man was a Jew. It doesn't say if he was a ruler, what he was a ruler over. It just simply states that he was a wealthy man. Would have told you he had some kind of status in society at that point. But you see, he went away unhappy and disappointed that this someone good, this Jesus, would want this man to give up all that he had to follow Jesus. Well, what value was there in that? The young man probably thought. What value is there in that? And he probably thought to himself, Are you nuts? Do you know how much I have? And although Jesus goes on to teach his disciples about how difficult it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God, this isn't about dollars and cents per se. The man asked what he had to do to inherit eternal life, and Jesus was telling him, obey the commands and follow Christ. Obeying commands, though, wasn't the hard part. What was and is today still the hard part is for a man to follow Christ. And the reason is because in order to follow Christ and become everything God wants us to be in Christ, there's sacrifice involved. It wasn't a matter of riches, it was a matter of righteousness. It wasn't a matter of finances and stewardship, it was a matter of forfeit and surrender. It wasn't a matter of money, it was a matter of mindset, and it still is today. It's a matter of righteousness, not riches. Forfeit and surrender, not finances and stewardship. It's a matter of the right mindset in our minds. To give up the world to follow Jesus Christ. You see, in order to be in the kingdom of God, which is what this young man wanted to be in, and if he was a Jew, he would have expected the answer to be, you have to become a Jew, you have to become circumcised and become a Jew. But you see, there was a new teaching. And Jesus had gone around teaching that the kingdom of God has come. Repent of your old ways and follow me. The kingdom of God has come. And in order to be in the kingdom of God, one has to be righteous. And that righteousness comes through Jesus Christ, following Him and receiving Him as Lord and Savior. And in order to be in the kingdom of God, one has to forfeit all that they know to be value to them. All that keeps them from being all that God wants them to be. And that's, in this case, what riches did. But in many, many cases, there are things in our lives that we're not willing to give up all along the journey, not just the moment of accepting Christ and becoming born again, but all in our Christian walk. We don't want to let go. We don't want to give up. In order to be in the kingdom of God, one has to adopt the mindset that the only thing that has any value whatsoever in life is following the Lord Jesus Christ. That nothing else matters. That nothing else has any value in my life, and that I'm willing to give up everything and surrender all, no matter what the cost, no matter what I know to be my security, no matter what I know to be my strength. When we willingly follow Christ, our whole value system changes. I want to ask you, could not the one who had provided the wealth for that young man give it all to him again? If you follow on in the reading in this chapter, Jesus says, no one who's left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children, fields for me in the gospel, will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Yeah, you're going to receive persecutions, and with them persecutions, but in the age to come, eternal life. I know the feeling quite well. Remember the day I went down to my church that I was a member of, in my calling, when it got to this point, and Jesus was saying to me, now I was a Christian at this point, but Jesus was saying, now's the time I want you to be all that you can be for me, all that I'm calling you to be. And I went down and I knelt at the altar. And I said, Lord God, I don't know what it is you're trying to do here. And I can't fathom or even understand, begin to understand why you're choosing me, but I just need you to show me what it is. And I will completely give up my life to do it. What does Jesus say? No one who has left home or brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in the present age. Wow, how true that is. And I can stand here and tell you that is truth in its fullest sense. You see, what this young man lacked was true faith. True faith that enables one to be righteous, lacking nothing. In Hebrews, it tells us that Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Paul told the Ephesians that without faith, it's impossible to be saved or have salvation. One thing was lacking with this young man, and it was faith. Childlike faith. He had just got done teaching. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Childlike faith. I don't understand it, but I know I need to believe it and follow Jesus Christ. I watched this walnut all summer long in my daily walks with my dog. This came from a medium-sized walnut tree. Morning and evening, I watched this walnut. It hung about this high on the tree while others hung up in the tree. There were a lot of them on the tree. And I watched it and I watched it and I watched it to see when it would drop off. And as the fall came and all the foliage dropped off the tree, I watched and I watched and it clung and hung onto the tree. Finally, within the last week, they started dropping. Two or three here, two or three there, but this one walnut kept hanging on and hanging on. It was the last one. The last one on the tree. The tree was completely bare except for one walnut. Clinging to all that it had ever known. Clinging to all the security and all the nourishment that it had ever known in life. Clinging. Not wanting to fall. Not wanting to experience the pain of the fall. But yet if it did, and when it did, and when it decided to do so, it would spring up into life and become all that God meant for it to be in the first place, right? The glory of God bearing more seed for the glory of God. But it clung, and it clung, and it clung. The last Sunday afternoon, after I got home from church, I went for a walk with my dog. It was hanging there in the morning at 6:30. But it had let go. As I was walking a day or two later, I noticed an acorn that had decided to let go earlier and had laid on the ground for several weeks, and it was already sprouting. It was a little tiny sprout coming out the end. It already started to become what God wanted it to be. Every mighty oak was once a nut that stood its ground. And in the same way, many of you remember these things. This one seems to have a hole in it. I blew it up earlier. It's kind of appropriate because don't the things of this world have holes? Aren't they full of holes? We find that sooner or later they can't hold us up any longer. Many of us remember our children, maybe when we were children, being in one of these, clinging to these because we didn't want to sink. And maybe we said to our children, just, it's okay, it's okay. You can swim without it. No, I can't. I can't let go. Yes, you can. I'm right here to catch you. No, I can't. I'm going to drown. No, you won't. You just need to let go. Clinging, all they ever knew, to hold them up and hold their heads above water. Clinging to the last minute when it finally decided to let go to the ground and be all that God wanted it to be. Clinging and accepting God's will for it. Enduring the pain of the fall and the impact, but sprouting up to eternal life. You see, this is what this young man was asking Jesus. What do I have to do to become all that God wants me to be part of God's kingdom? And Jesus said, you need childlike faith. You need to let go. All that's nothing. All that is worthless compared with following Christ. And in the same way, for those who still adhere to the thought that one can be a good and righteous person and earn their way by the work that they do, I want to tell you this morning, there's one thing you lack. Give up the old covenant of works righteousness, that salvation by works mindset, and follow the new covenant of grace, righteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ. because this is what we celebrate today. Jesus said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant." The new covenant. And why people will not let go of the old covenant of the works-based salvation that the Jews knew so well, of the rituals and eating certain things and not eating other things. But they won't let go and become all that God wants them to be in Jesus Christ. Kingdom people must adjust their mindset. They must adjust their attitudes. They must adjust their value systems. They must adjust their checkbook, because that's what the young man had to do. His value system had to be turned upside down. His checkbook would have been emptied. His schedule and his itinerary would have been worthless at this point, because Jesus said, "Come follow me." And in his mind he was probably thinking, "But I got to go do this and I got to go do this and I've got so much to do." His attitude was wrong, his mindset was wrong, and his value system was wrong. And that kept him from knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In fact, what happened? He went away sad. Face to face with Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And he went away sad. Oh, if he only would have decided to follow Jesus. He only would have decided to follow Jesus. I want to invite the choir to come up now and share a great message with you. If he only would have decided to follow Jesus.